Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. This is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. We are, of course, presented by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, and you know this, man. 7 years in the NFL. It was awesome. It was a long time ago, but gave me a little street cred to be able to get some gigs in the media, to be able to start some podcasts. Today on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I talked about every single team's free agency so far. Just kind of a snapshot, my thoughts on their free agency thus far. And yesterday, I thought was really interesting on the Even Money Betting Podcast. Number one, Steve Fezzik went over exactly how you should fill out your NCAA tournament bracket, which is always good. But then he also talked about the teams with the biggest season win total changes in his mind, in his own rankings, based on what they've done on free agency. And yes, quarterbacks have a lot to do with it. This is the Fantasy Feast Podcast, where my guy Joe Dolan is the star. You check him out on social media at FG_Dolan. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod, and we greatly appreciate those of you that rate and review the show. It means a lot to us, and you get a great chance to win a signed press pass from me if you do so. Just rate and review. To make sure I see it, email it to me, ross@rostucker.com. And these are some of my favorite shows, because we now know a lot of new players on new teams. We'll do something similar after the draft, but we'll start here with free agency, talking about especially the guys that have switched teams and their fantasy impact. We will start today with the quarterbacks. Joe, I feel like this is maybe, although there was a decent amount last year too, I feel like this is maybe more free agent quarterback movement, new starters, new places than there used to be.
Yeah, I think the NFL, you can look at it two ways. First and foremost, the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl, and that's really hard to do without an elite quarterback. As you've seen, even teams that have elite quarterbacks or teams who have paid big money for their quarterbacks have a hard time getting past Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen's never even gotten to the Super Bowl. And many would argue, myself included, that Josh Allen's the second best quarterback in the NFL. So that tells you how hard it is. The other way you can look at it is, well, number one, we're in the NFC, which doesn't have a Patrick Mahomes roadblock, which is the case of the Atlanta Falcons. And the other way to look at it is, you know, maybe what if the Chiefs have a down year? I would think this past year kind of, blew up that argument, because the Chiefs kind of did have a down year, and by the time January rolled around, they turned everything on. Or what if somebody gets hurt, and all we need is a really good roster and a quarterback who can just prevent us from, like, derailing the ship? And that's the way some other teams look at it. That's the way the Atlanta Falcons are looking at it. That's the way the Pittsburgh Steelers are looking at it. But also, I do think there is a kind of growing sentiment that teams aren't going to settle as much for mediocrity as they did in the past. You know, in the past, quarterbacks like a Kirk Cousins, and I don't even think Kirk Cousins is mediocre. I think he's better than mediocre. Many might argue otherwise. A player like Kirk Cousins wouldn't go anywhere. because Kirk Cousins is throwing for 4,000 yards a year and 30 touchdowns and 25 touchdowns and, you know, on a bad year, 20 touchdowns. And he gets the most out of our skill players, and we're going to win 9-10 games, and that's fine. In the past, guys like that didn't change teams, okay? But now they are changing teams because teams are just looking for that upgrade. They want to get over the hump. And meanwhile, teams that don't have a guy of the caliber of a Kirk Cousins are looking at, man, why are they letting Kirk Cousins go? We're going to love to bring Kirk Cousins in. So the NFL is just on this constant charge for like this young quarterback on a rookie deal that maybe you can build an elite offense around. And if you're lucky, that quarterback becomes somebody who can become a $200 million man. That's the ultimate goal in the NFL. Getting past Patrick Mahomes, that's the other part of the problem. But teams are more willing to shuffle the deck, I guess, than they have been in years past.
I think that there's some truth to that, Joe. It's interesting because if you're a team that's had a guy like Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. although I think the Vikings wanted to bring him back, I think there is some desire there to get somebody with maybe more upside. Meanwhile, there's several other teams that just want competency at the position. They just want someone that gives them a legit chance to go to the playoffs and maybe win some playoff games. Although I know Cousins has only won one. And that is the Atlanta Falcons. 4 years, $180 million, Joe. So now we got a lot to figure out with Atlanta because they have a new offensive coordinator, new play caller, new head coach, new quarterback. And I know we'll get to this on the receiver episode and the tight end episode and the running back episode, but they also gave him a couple new receivers with Mooney and Rondale Moore too.
Yeah. So here is the thing about Kirk Cousins that I like, and it's been the case under multiple coaches in Minnesota, and it's going to be the case in Atlanta because he's going to be playing in the offense for Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator who comes from the Shanahan tree. Obviously, Raheem Morris is the head coach there. The McVay tree. This is an offense that is designed to throw the ball to its good players. And Kirk Cousins, throughout his career, has thrown the ball to his good players. It's wonderful. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, TJ Hockenson. These guys have just caught a ton of passes from Kirk Cousins. What was the biggest problem with the Atlanta Falcons last year? They didn't throw the ball. Number one, they didn't throw the ball at all. They were just near the bottom or at the bottom of the league in pass rate over expectation. So they just didn't throw the ball at all. But they also, when they did, didn't throw it to their good players. That is not going to be the case this year. You know, Kyle Pitts is out there on Twitter talking about, I don't know if Kirk Cousins wants number eight from me, but the only thing I'll take for it is targets. Cousins did not take number 8 from Kyle Pitts. He actually took number 18, which is a very swagless number. The only guy who's ever pulled that off at quarterback is Peyton Manning. But nonetheless, Kyle Pitts still said on Twitter, targets are coming. Kirk Cousins is going to throw the ball to their good players. So this is a massive bump in stock for Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson. Darnell Mooney, I think he's a very good number two, somebody you take a gamble on in the middle rounds, maybe starting like round 8, round 9, maybe even the double-digit rounds in your best ball drafts. But this is a massive boost in stock, presuming Cousins is healthy, to Kyle Pitts and Drake London, guys who I expect to dominate the target share in Atlanta because this offense is designed to get the ball to good players, and Kirk Cousins gets the ball to good players. This was the nuts landing spot for Kirk Cousins, with the exception of Minnesota, which where we already knew where he was going to go with the ball, to Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson. So this is the great the best possible landing spot for Kirk Cousins with great weapons who have underachieved for fantasy in their NFL careers thus far. If Kirk Cousins is healthy, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, their days of underachieving for fantasy football are over. Kirk Cousins will get them the football. I just took Kyle Pitts in the fourth round of a tight end premium startup draft. This was the kind of draft where he was going in the first round as early as last year. So his stock is down. In the markets, I think it's going to go up very soon in the 2024 season if people realize Kirk Cousins is healthy, because Kyle Pitts, 1 year healthier for him in a new offense with a competent quarterback, is going to have an opportunity to put up some big numbers.
What about Cousins' ranking, Joe? Just curious. Like, are you ranking him higher or lower than you would have if he was in Minnesota? He'd probably still have been higher in Minnesota, right?
Well, yeah, probably a little bit higher in Minnesota just because of the lack of the unknown. He's still coming off an Achilles. I think he's going to settle in post-draft in that quarterback 12 to 16 range, which is a perfect spot for him, and I expect he's going to be, once again, a competent fantasy football starter. I mean, this is a guy who was on pace to lead the NFL in passing last year. I don't know if they're going to throw it that much in Atlanta. Before Cousins went down, Minnesota were fourth in pass rate over expectation last year. I don't know if they're going to throw it that much in Atlanta because they have Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. They have a great run game, but I still think they're going to be a team that's going to be above average in pass rate over expectation. The volume is going to knock Cousins down a little bit, but presuming he is healthy, and that is a big presumption, he's coming off an Achilles, I think there's going to be an opportunity for him to put up some big numbers.
What about the guy replacing him in Minnesota, Joe? Sam Darnold or a rookie to be named later?
The Minnesota Vikings traded for a second first-round pick. We know why they traded for a second first-round pick, because they're trying to trade up for a higher first-round pick, and they'll make one first-round pick this year. Whether that's with the Patriots, whether that's with the Cardinals, the Chargers, the Giants, I don't know. But they're trying to trade up for a quarterback. Reports are they love Drake May. All that stuff is smokescreen, but it seems pretty evident that we're going to have four quarterbacks go in the first five or six picks of the NFL draft, and the Minnesota Vikings want to be one of those teams to make that pick. Sam Darnold, by the way, is just 27. It feels like he's been around forever. I don't understand why Sam Darnold keeps getting all these chances. At this point, I feel like he's a mid-range backup quarterback, maybe a high-end backup quarterback, but nothing more than that. He's got a good arm. He can move a little bit. There was a time with the Panthers last year, actually 2022. I have to start referencing that as 2 years ago, where he was putting up numbers with his legs, so he can do that a little bit. But ultimately, Ross, let's wait till after the NFL draft, because I think there's a good chance Sam Darnold isn't starting week one for the Minnesota Vikings. They paid him a lot of money. In theory, there's people flipping out, oh, I can't believe he got paid this much, and Justin Fields only went for a sixth-round pick, and yeah, there's some validity to that. I just haven't put a lot of brain power into thinking about Sam Darnold, because I don't think he's going to be their quarterback for much more than a week or two this season.
I don't put a lot of thinking into what I'm going to drink every weekend, because I know it's going to be Labatt Blue Lights with friends, family, watching basketball, March Madness this weekend. Always enjoy responsibly beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Joe, I do want to say while we're here, this is not good for Justin Jefferson. I mean, this is bad, Joe. This is real bad.
Yeah, it is. Kirk Cousins, he threw the ball to good players, and Justin Jefferson's a really good player. Look, Justin Jefferson's still going to be a first-round pick in best ball, and there's obviously that's completely justified because Justin Jefferson is awesome. But look, here are the facts with Sam Darnold. Darnold ranks 35th out of 38 passers in catchable throw rate and 37th in turnover worthy throw rate. So fourth worst in catchable throw rate and second worst in turnover throw rate from 21 to 23. This is per fantasy points data. So Sam Darnold out there, not only is he throwing a lot of interceptions, but he's also throwing a low number of catchable passes. So look, that is bad news for Justin Jefferson. And the problem here is with rookies, we never know if they're going to come in and be good or they could be disasters. C.J. Stroud was far better than anybody could have anticipated last year. Bryce Young was far worse than anybody could have anticipated last year. So we have a quarterback class that I think is good. I always struggle to throw around the word generational. I think it's much better class than next year. But last year, you know, I didn't think Stroud was going to come out and light the world on fire, and he did. 3 years ago, nobody thought Justin Herbert was going to come out and light the world on fire, and he did. 2 years ago in 2021, we have all these quarterbacks going high in Fields and Lawrence and Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, and the only one of those guys who's done anything worth a damn is Trevor Lawrence. So the rookie provides an unknown here, and that's why Justin Jefferson, who was the consensus first overall pick in fantasy football last year, he's fallen to, on some best ball sites, fourth, fifth overall. In terms of, and his ADP is falling, by the way. It has fallen a little bit since Kirk Cousins has left for Atlanta. So there are some folks who are now taking Ja'Marr Chase over him. CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, by the way, who knows with his legal troubles what's going to happen. But those guys are consistently going over him. And Christian McCaffrey is overwhelmingly the number one overall pick in best ball right now. I wouldn't be shocked to see Justin Jefferson at some point fall to maybe the early second half of the first round. Maybe somebody just feels more comfortable taking somebody like Amon-Ra St. Brown over him, given the uncertainty that the Vikings currently have at the quarterback position and that they're going to have. Because even if they trade up for a quarterback, there's still going to be some uncertainty regarding Justin Jefferson.
Let's talk about Pittsburgh, Joe, because that is very, very interesting. They sign Russell Wilson. They trade for Justin Fields. They also traded away Deontay Johnson. So it sounds like Russell Wilson is going to be the starter. In Pittsburgh, is he fantasy relevant, Joe?
This is an interesting question. Because if he does enough to hold on to the starting job, I would imagine he's fantasy relevant. Because that's going to mean he's producing numbers, he's getting it done a little bit with his legs, and he's winning football games, which is really all Mike Tomlin cares about. Everything that the Steelers have done this offseason, whether you agree with it or not at the quarterback position, shows that Mike Tomlin and this current Steelers front office, this leadership group in Pittsburgh, is not content with bottoming out. They don't want that. They don't want to be picking at the top of the NFL draft for a quarterback next year. They'd rather put a Band-Aid on it and try to win 9-10 games and see what they have. So I am not drafting Russ as if he's going to be anything more than a low-end backup, because I just think the risk that he's replaced by Justin Fields is far too high. And the Steelers' condition that they built into their pick with the trade with the Bears suggests that that's the reasonable expectation. This pick becomes a fourth-round pick if Justin Fields plays 51% or more of the snaps, an indication that the Steelers are opening up the possibility that Justin Fields is going to start a good number of football games this year. I've told you on this podcast what I think of Russell Wilson and what I think of Justin Fields. I think the Steelers could clone Dermoni Dawson, Mike Webster, Alan Faneca, and Tunch Ilkin, and still give up 60 sacks next year because Justin Fields and Russell Wilson are the two biggest sack eaters in the NFL. You can pause and rewind that if you want to clip that term. But yes, they take a lot of sacks. They were the two highest sack eaters in the NFL last year. By the way, per fantasy points data, they were also the two highest check down quarterbacks when not pressured. So Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren are going to catch a lot of passes this year from Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. But the thing about Justin Fields, we know. Look, I think we see what the NFL thinks of Fields. He doesn't throw to the middle of the field. He takes a ton of sacks. And he limits what you can do from a design perspective from your offense, because ultimately so many of his positive plays come from out of structure. And look, that's an obviously positive thing. Like if Justin Fields can turn any pressure into a 40-yard run. But I think what happens is offensive coordinators get frustrated because they're like, all right, we spent all this time game planning, and the only time we're getting positive plays is when our quarterback does something out of structure. So at some point you respect the athletic talent and you're like, that's really frustrating. And I don't know how much Arthur Smith is going to go for that. We know Arthur Smith, he loves his design above anything. He loves drawing up plays for bad football players and using his good players as a decoy. The good news for Arthur Smith right now is, besides George Pickens, they don't really have any good players on offense at the wide receiver position. But you'll also wonder if Justin Fields' dynamic athleticism is going to be something that they're just going to have to lean on at some point this season. I don't really rate Russell Wilson or Justin Fields very highly at this point of their careers. But Ross, does that preclude me from kind of liking what the Steelers did at quarterback this offseason? I mean, it's not costing them anything. Russell Wilson's costing them the veteran minimum, and Justin Fields cost them at most a fourth round pick. Like, I kind of like what they did, even though I don't rate either player. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. I think they have a better chance to win games with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, that combo, than Kenny Pickett. Makes sense. The question I have, Joe, is do the Raiders have a better chance to win games with Gardner Minshew than they do Aiden O'Connell?
Based on what I saw from Aiden O'Connell last year, I feel like Minshew's just a better version of him right now. And there's some merit to that. All I care about with Gardner Minshew, and there's obviously look, he signed a two-year deal. He's got $15 million guaranteed. In the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot for a quarterback this day and age. The Raiders are a wild card. I think they're a team that could not only maybe trade up for a quarterback, they could be one that takes one if he's falling. They could draft Bo Nix. They could draft Michael Penix. So they're still a wild card to me. And Minshew probably has an opportunity to get benched at some point this season, especially if the Raiders want to get another look at Aiden O'Connell and they're losing games. But there was a game last year in the fantasy playoffs where Aiden O'Connell peppered Davante Adams with 21 targets. Now, of course, that came on the heels of Davante Adams catching one pass in the previous week. But I think Gardner Minshew is the kind of quarterback who's going to go out and gunsling, much in the same way that Aiden O'Connell did. Gardner Minshew got the ball to Michael Pittman. I'll appreciate what he did in Indianapolis last year. I think he can come out and get the ball to Davante Adams, and they're good football players. And without Josh Jacobs, you know, they lost a good football player. Who knows what's going to happen with Michael Mayer, the young tight end. But Gardner Minshew, I think, is going to throw the ball to Davante Adams, and that's all I'm looking for him to do. Get the ball to Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers. Keep those two guys happy. Give me my fantasy production. And if you get benched because you're losing games, then we'll refigure it out.
Is there something to be said about Jacoby Brissett in New England, Joe, or is that just another bridge quarterback for a rookie?
Well, this really comes down to the question of, does New England trade out at number three? Because do they love Caleb Williams and Drake May and not Jaden Daniels? Or do they love Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and not Drake May? So, or does New England think their roster, and they would be correct in this assessment, by the way, do they think their roster is so bad that they don't want to put a rookie quarterback in there and risk ruining him or have the perception that you're ruining him, like somebody like Bryce Young last year, where there's nobody to throw to and there's nobody to block for him. So we're gonna struggle to keep him upright and keep him developing. Jacoby Brissett is a good quarterback. He's a good backup quarterback. He might be the best backup quarterback in the NFL. He outplayed Deshaun Watson in Cleveland in 2022. He currently projects as New England's starting quarterback. The problem here is they have no receivers worth a damn on this team. So it's hard for me to project Jacoby Brissett or a rookie quarterback to put up numbers in New England.
What do we need to say, if anything, about Baker staying in Tampa? We kind of expected that. But with Baker and Mike Evans back in Tampa, what's the fantasy relevance for Baker this upcoming year?
I think Baker, right now, you're probably looking at him as a mid to low quarterback too. He's currently getting drafted on some best ball sites as like a 13th round pick, which is about fair to me. But last year, he obviously produced far more than anybody could have anticipated. You might remember, Mike Evans was like a 6th, 7th round pick for fantasy. Now he's a early 3rd round pick. So that tells you what people think about what Baker Mayfield did for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm at least going to give some credence to the fact that there's a little bit of stability from a skill position standpoint with Tampa. I am concerned that they lost their offensive coordinator, Dave Canales, to the Carolina Panthers. I think that's a big loss. But fortunately for them, they have Evans, they have Godwin, they have Rashad White, they have Cade Otton, and now they have Baker, the chef in the kitchen, the baker in the kitchen, to kind of bring all those ingredients together and at least keep some level of consistency for the Buccaneers. I'm not going to argue with the Buccaneers re-signing Baker Mayfield, but they might be the counter-argument to what I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast. They might be one of those teams that's like, hey, you know what? We made the playoffs. We won a playoff game. I don't care if it was against a team that had quit 3 weeks before. We won a playoff game. We'll take some of that. That's the Buccaneers' perspective, and hey, good for Baker. He had the best year of his career.
Any other moves say anything to you, Joe, in terms of what they mean for the starter? Like, Jameis Winston being the backup in Cleveland instead of Flacco, or Drew Lock going to the Giants, kind of, you know, rather than the Giants drafting a guy, it sounds more like it'll be Danny Dimes again. Any of those jump out to you?
Jameis is the most interesting to me because he really hasn't gotten his shot in recent years, but we know Deshaun Watson has not played well in the past 2 years with the Cleveland Browns. Sam Howell in Seattle is interesting to me. There was some talk that Justin Fields could maybe draw some interest there. Maybe Seattle is starting to think they're at the end of the Geno rope. And then, of course, there's Kenny Pickett, who was traded to Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia just appreciates the extra year of that contract that Kenny Pickett gives them vis-a-vis Justin Fields. That's an interesting move as well. But I think Sam Howell and Jameis Winston are the two most interesting from a fantasy football perspective.
Joe, the most interesting position in free agency might be running back. We'll have a loaded show next week. Should be epic. I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for tuning in to Fantasy Feast. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.